Oh, organizers, we're going to need another chair here because we're going to do questions and answers together. It's almost over, or it's just about to begin. Depends on how you look at it. This is Satchinandana Swami calls this wheelbarrow time. Okay, fine. And I was very surprised that he knew what that word means, because English isn't his first language. Now, of course, some of us in the room probably do know, and some of us in the room probably don't know. I know that Saul knows what wheelbarrow is, and I know what wheelbarrow is. A wheelbarrow is one of those three-wheeled things, or actually one wheel in the front and two legs in the back, and has arms that stick out or handles that stick out, and you lift and you put stuff inside, and you can, like, tools for gardening. That's a wheelbarrow. Or tools for construction, or you put stuff inside, and then you pick up with the handles and go with one wheel. That's a wheelbarrow. So this is wheelbarrow time. The intention with this session is to remind you and provide you with tools so that going forward in time you'll be more prepared, have things to reach out to and help you with chanting more effectively, chanting better, growing a nice spiritual garden. The developing devotional service is sometimes compared to gardening. We're growing the bhakti lata, the creeper of devotion, the seed of which has been given by the mercy of, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, the awakening of the seed of devotion, and then the process of chanting is the watering process. But along with the watering of that which, anybody that's done gardening knows this, along with the thing that you want to grow, other things also grow. Weeds also grow, and so part of gardening is pulling weeds. So part of, similarly, the process of devotional service that awakened through the chanting of the holy name, we must guard against offenses. Very early in the Hare Krishna movement, Prabhupada told one disciple, deliberately leaving their name out, he said, if every time you chant 16 rounds, you have 25,000 opportunities for spiritual perfection. All you need to do out of those 25,000 times is chant one name without offense. That's all. In perfection. And if it wasn't that one, then the next one, and the next one. And it didn't happen those 25,000 times, and then the next one. Like that. So, one of the ways offered always by our acharyas in overcoming offenses, because we're enjoined to try to chant without offense, in overcoming offenses, there's two main recommendations. One is put something on the other side of the pan scale in relation to the offense, or constant chanting. So, for example, sadhu ninda is the first of the 10 offenses. Blaspheming the devotees of the Lord. Because the devotees of the Lord are carrying bhakti, and to blaspheme the devotee, bhakti doesn't like that. Even the devotee may forgive you. Bhakti doesn't like that. And so there's a way to mitigate, and that is you offer your obeisances and beg the forgiveness from the devotee whom you have offended. So when Prabhupada gave us that teaching, the devotees put two and two together and said, wow, what about all the times that I've offended devotees and I didn't even realize I was offending devotees? What about that? If I can go to the devotees who I know that I've offended, fine. But what about those that I didn't even know that I offended? And Prabhupada's reply was, therefore, we, in all of our temples, have our devotees, our members, chant Vanjakalpatrubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Where it's not a ritual, but it's something that we consciously offer our respects to the devotees. So that's the other side of the panscale. Respect the devotees instead of the other thing. Recognizing the thing that you're respecting is not, oh, here's a flawless person, but within the heart of this person, they're carrying bhakti, and that's very special. Unto that soul I offer my respects. But the other is constant chanting. So, numeric increase of chanting, just like we heard some of the devotees sharing. I'm sure there would have been more and more and more sharing the happiness they felt and the ease of chanting, especially in the association of nice devotees in a very focused way in front of the deities. So numeric chanting helps chanting. Helps. Some of the devotees shared struggling in the beginning or struggling after the beginning or struggling somewhere. But then just staying with it and feeling the strength of the other devotees chanting. Numeric chanting helps. And chanting in the association of devotees helps. Many devotees share chanting before the deities helps. So, here's a Shyamasundar's math. Where is he? Is he here? Okay. You know what it's going to be. Let us get together once a month in the temple. Just focus on chanting once a month. Schedule a time, just like we do with kirtan, you know, a 6-hour kirtan or, you know, different levels of standards of kirtan, 24-hour kirtan or whatever. So, once a month, where the number of devotees, as many as can attend, are encouraged to attend. This is an application, but even if the other three, if this happens, very nice. And in your own way, you make some commitment to vrata to complete a certain amount of chanting and complete that certain amount of chanting with other things that are there also supportive. Obviously, kirtan supportive also of japa and some harikatha in relation to the holy name is also supportive. And then dais prasadam is also supportive. And the devotees come together and reconnect. So association, numeric, chant before the deities. That's something to consider. How do we take the experience that we had and continue it nicely? This is what we're doing with the wheelbarrow program. Let's put one of those tools in the wheelbarrow. And there are different ways of doing the same thing that a number of devotees that I'm aware of do. Some of you live in the suburbs and in areas you have your bhakti riksha groups. So sometimes bhakti riksha group gatherings, aside from whenever they have their Bhakti Vriksha group, all the members or some of the members have a regular, they get together one morning, Saturday morning or Sunday morning or something, and chant japa together. Of course, that could be done at the temple also, but depending upon your circumstances, that's another option. A number of devotees have telephonic japa for 1 hour every morning. They read something inspirational, and then the devotees call in, somebody reads something inspirational, or they hear something inspirational, and then they chant japa, I guess, on speakerphone or something like that, for an hour, or whatever they decide to do, whatever the group decides to do. So, it's the support of others doing the same thing, and you're focusing on the same thing together. Nice. At least the elements of not necessarily numerical increase, but association increase, and focus on the holy name, an effort to focus on the holy name. Something else that put another tool in the wheelbarrow is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's description of the anartha nivritti stage of bhakti. And rather than review the whole chapter, in that chapter one of the main topics is ways to anarthas or impurities of heart arise from different sources. One is a past sinful activities, that's obvious, and bhakti eradicates, has the potency to eradicate that. Anarthas that arise from our past pious activities, which is a little more puzzling, but from our past pious activities, there's pious results. And when we have pious results, as long as the heart is not yet pure, there's the tendency to be the enjoyer of those pious results. And that tendency to be the enjoyer of pious results, it blocks. It creates an anartha within the heart. It blocks the pure holy name. So fortunately, devotional service has the potency, like the sun has the potency to eradicate darkness, bhakti has the potency to eradicate that one. But then, anarthas that arise due to offenses. There's seva parad. Then there's, within bhakti itself, there's ways of eradicating the seva parad. Not the one continues, but it can be eradicated, the reaction for seva parad. But nama parad is a whole other thing. So he just discusses what the offenses against the holy name are, and describes the means of eradicating those offenses. And then the conclusion is that the most important thing, most important element in eradicating the impurities of heart that arise from offenses is the desire to do so. Intention again. Because otherwise, we'll just repeat and repeat and repeat. Like, you know, so the commitment to overcome offenses is the most important desire, and then the commitment. And then whatever the method that one applies, this, that, or the other thing, or combination of things, and do, you know, it'll have effect. The effect will not be the same if that commitment to do so isn't clear and in sharp focus. Something that we discussed at length, a tool you can put in your wheelbarrow, is this concept of drishta vichar, just to keep it really short message, the soundbite of drishta vichar, Bhaktisiddhanta's teaching, that bhakti means to change the position from being the seer to being seen. The consciousness of Krishna is seeing. Krishna is, in case of chanting, Krishna is hearing. We did that exercise, gave those explanations. So that's something that you can take out of your wheelbarrow when you're chanting your rounds tomorrow, the next week, and next month, and the new year. Chant in such a way, change of consciousness, where we're chanting for the pleasure of Krishna in such a way that Krishna will hear, counting on the fact that Krishna will help us. Matihi, remember that word from Shukadeva Goswami's explanation of the Ajamila story. The Lord heard, and he then considered, oh, he's calling, or they're calling my name. I must reciprocate with them. Not like he's duty bound, but moved by the love of his devotee. So then proportionate to the bhakti or the love of the devotee, there's more and there's more and there's more. One other element that yesterday afternoon, those of you that were completing your 64 rounds, there were some others with us. Some of you who had already completed their 64 rounds, but some discussion about what their experience was, and something that we also heard it here. I'll say it differently than the way that it was shared, but there's one sense of chanting where you're doing something. There's another sense of chanting where you're receiving something. It's very different than our conditioning. Our conditioning is, okay, now you've got this, you go to school and you get good grades, or you're in a sports event and you've got to win, or you're with devotees and you've got to be, you know, you got to do it and succeed and strive and you can do it. Kind of mentality. So I'm going to be successful in devotional service by being a good chanter. And when that mentality is there, we heard today and yesterday, not happening. Not happening. Struggle and struggle. I'll try harder. I'll try different. I'll try better. And it's not happening. So another approach, you might want to take this from your wheelbarrow, where you're receiving, you're given the ability to make the sound Krishna. Human form of life has that ability. Krishna. That's something that we're doing, but as a service, and then Krishna is present. And what we need to do is receive that sound vibration, even if it's the same sound vibration that we're making, or the person next to us is making, or in the kirtan, the kirtan leader is making, and then the chorus is responding. We're receiving that sound vibration of Krishna. And chanting in that consciousness is a whole other experience. It's a whole other experience in chanting, and it's a whole other experience in what happens at the heart level. Just to amplify that point, during one japa retreat, periodically every 10 minutes or so, one devotee would raise their arms like this, close their eyes and continue chanting. And at the end, it was the sharing thing, and I was asking them, what was that? And they said, when I got lost in, you know, La La Land, I raised my arms and just called out to Krishna. So I just changed the mood to receiving Krishna's mercy. And it just completely took all of that doership, La La Land thing away. Maya was taken away by receiving Krishna's mercy. So just my comment is, again, we're so much accustomed to the false ego thing of doing and enjoying the fruits of what we do. We're very, very familiar with that territory. Try it the other way around. Krishna's mercy is coming. He's giving you the opportunity through the chanting of the holy name to receive his mercy, the fullness of his mercy, and be eager for that. So, the way that this devotee derived this gesture wasn't exactly just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. It was the example of a child calling for their mother. And even if the child isn't calling mother's name, if the child goes like this, doesn't matter what language. I was watching this happening in an airport in China. A child was lost and crying. And the child didn't know where the parents were. So some mothers and people tried to comfort the child. No good, it's gotta be mother. Can't be somebody, it's gotta be mother. And as soon as mother was there, the child went like this. The child was in mother's arms, and it was all over. Because now they were safe. So, like that. And whether you do it with your arms or without your arms, just with your heart, that's actually, it's the arms alone don't make it, it's the heart. It's receiving. And when a child goes like that, what's mother gonna do? No question about it. Or father. It's no question. So if we go like that, what's Krishna going to do? It's connected to the drishta vichara, but it's receiving descending mercy instead of duratyaya. Daivi yashin kunamayi mamamaya duratyaya. Struggling very hard with the material energy, which includes the mind, six senses including the mind, struggling and struggling and struggling. And one can cross beyond the struggle. These are just little tools, little messages that, you know, in the upcoming period of time when you're chanting, you may find useful. A whole message would maybe another retreat we can expand on, discuss together, but it's similar, but different, where I think it's Jiva Goswami describes bhakti, what is bhakti, in one word as Krishna. Krishna means thirst. Like asat Krishna, according to Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, this is one of the causes of an artist in the heart. Thirst, Krishna, or asat, or according to the ten offenses, maintaining material attachments in spite of understanding so many instructions in the matter. Asat, Krishna, thirst for the impermanent, trying to be the enjoyer of temporary things when it has nothing to do with what real happiness is. It causes anarthas to arise in the heart. So that asat Krishna has to be changed to Krishna Krishna. Thirst for Krishna. Hankering for connecting with Krishna, just as some of the persons sharing were offering. Feeling connected and then disconnected and then again connected. So that drift or the change away from and then again connecting with is when we let go of that I want spirit, and instead of just simply being in service, in a mood of service when chanting, and carrying that mood with you in all of your activities will also help your chanting. And chanting in that mood will help you in all your activities. One helps the other. Very naturally so. There's some nice examples that help illustrate that, but another time. And I think I'll just end with, because of the clock here, Sankalpa. I mentioned it several times this morning, in part because it's overlooked emphasizing it before the 64-round day. So now going forward in time, I invite you once again, consider in your relationship with Krishna, specifically those who reside here in Houston, Dom, the deities, Radha Nila Madhava, prime presiding deity, or wherever you're from, and the deity or the deity in your home, or Nama Prabhu specifically. What is it that, since the chanting of the holy name is the primary activity for achieving spiritual progress and ultimately perfection, in fact, Saint Stronger is the only way for that to happen. So what is it that you would like today, or at this present stage of your spiritual evolution, in relation to chanting? What's that sankalpa, expectation, or desire, hankering? What is it that you wish to achieve through the chanting? And obviously it's going to have a spiritual dimension to it, and so you focus on that spiritual dimension while chanting, and stay with it, and stay with it, and stay with it. It's important. And a nice metaphor. I like visual things. It helps me understand things and feel things that are conceptual otherwise. Is a magnifying glass. So maybe some of the Sunday school teachers can help the Sunday school children understand sankalpa by doing a little experiment in Sunday school, where you take a magnifying glass when there's some sunlight and hold the magnifying glass at a certain angle and at a certain distance from some object, let's say piece of paper or wood or something that can burn, and you focus the light passing through the magnifying glass in such a way that it becomes tiny, 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 very, very focused light. Very, like a tiny spot of light on the paper or piece of wood. And that light that's passing through the magnifying glass becomes so focused that it burns. It can start a fire. You put it on your skin and it's ouch. It burns, literally. Sankalpa functions like that. The holy name is there, and the mercy of Krishna, the fullness of Krishna's potencies are there. And in each and every one of Krishna's names, sankalpa helps bring that focus upon that place in the heart which you wish to go forward with spiritually. And keep, as with a magnifying glass, you have to keep adjusting slightly as the sun moves or your hand moves or whatever. Continually refine, so not just state the sankalpa at the beginning, and that's mechanically done next, but you stay with it at what the intention is, and your attention will be maximized. So the more specific and clear you are about your personal sankalpa, then it will help you. That's a very nice tool. And you can invoke it at the beginning and periodically remind yourself by looking at it or calling it to memory or whatever it is. And stay focused. It will help you stay focused on the holy name. And that the power of the holy name is incredible. The fullness of Krishna's potencies, and that fullness of Krishna potencies is inconceivably great. It's all within each and every one of Krishna's holy names. Unfortunately, we're not focused. So Sankalpa helps, like this magnifying glass example. It's be very focused and stay focused. And all kinds of magical things follow just from that sound, the simple activity of calling Krishna's holy name. If you've made notes on the discussions on Friday, go through those notes. If you haven't, before too much time passes and memory fades, sit down in front of a notebook and take, again, this thing of writing things down. It helps them stick. Discuss with others that attended, and your list will increase. Your appreciation for other devotees of what they realized, the bhakti that they're carrying in their heart will increase. So go through that exercise. It will help. And those things that are most outstanding for you, apply them. That's another tool in the wheelbarrow. The purpose of, just conclusion here, the purpose of something like we just went through, for all of us, as participants, whatever our role and function has been, it's to bring that gift which Lord Chaitanya came into this world to give us, the quality of love for Krishna as it's found in Vraja. He wanted to give that, and we're meant to receive it. So this is all to help us be clear what the gift is, be clear how to best receive that gift, and take steps in the direction of both, knowing what, the sense of gratitude unto Lord Chaitanya for that which he is giving us, and then the act of receiving. And then, repeat, cultivate. Let it go into your heart, and cultivate that from the position of recognition and gratitude, and move closer to being the full recipient of that full gift that Lord Chaitanya wished for us to receive, which came through our founder Acharya. He brought it to us all and gave us so many teachings and so many opportunities, everything that we have, the association of all of these wonderful things, the kirtan, the deity, japa, association, offering of our food, everything that makes up the spirituality of our Krishna consciousness movement. Through our founder Acharya, he's the emissary from Lord Chaitanya for us. So our deep gratitude goes to Prabhupada for bringing us together and doing this, and let us go further in the art of receiving that gift of Lord Chaitanya. Hare Krishna. So on the schedule, we have some time for questions and answers. We have another fixed microphone for Maharaj, for Maharaj, and another portable one. So if anybody would like to have some discussion on this topic, chanting of the holy name, japa in particular, please raise your hand and we'll have some discussion. Yes.
We are from We're from Dallas, and every other week we are doing a 12-hour kirtan. My children are also interested in kirtan, so there is a lot of kirtan around us. So how do we use kirtan in our daily japa?
How do you use kirtan?
How can listening to a kirtan change our focus or bring our focus while chanting japa?
This is your question.
Well, they're both important. Sometimes our second generation loves chanting kirtan, but they don't like chanting japa.
Forget it.
Because japa is just not fun. Kirtan is more fun. So somehow or other chant. That's good.
Fix it. Come around.
It's okay.
It's okay now?
I think it's all right.
Okay.
But there are different ways of associating with the holy name. Sometimes kirtan, I was at a festival this year where there was lots of kirtan going on by people who weren't devotees. And it's painful. It's a painful experience. They're chanting mantras, but there's nothing there. Or worse, there's offenses are there. Somehow or other, our affection for Krishna through chanting has to awaken. And it's easier for us to feel that affection towards Krishna when we're chanting kirtan. But that kirtan has to be with sincere devotees. It has to be with devotees that want to have a relationship with Krishna. To give this other example, it can't be for people who want to use kirtan for like a party or something like that. So, or some other purpose. So kirtan is powerful. It's easier for us to become absorbed, at least for a period of time. Because, you know, we have nice melodies, we have devotees that are singing, and they become inspired, and their inspiration inspires us, and I think the other thing about kirtan is that it's devotee association in its purest form. A lot of times we have devotee association, but we're not always discussing about Krishna or other things. But when we're chanting together, we really have the association of devotees in a very, very pure form. We're all together glorifying Krishna. And we're there for the purpose of developing our love for Krishna, for cleansing our hearts. So when kirtan has that kind of intention, then it's very powerful. It's a different kind of thing. So that kirtan then makes us eager that when we chant our japa, we want to have similar kind of experience. We want to also chant with that kind of focus and with that kind of devotion. So they feed each other. And at the same time, if we're not chanting japa, we can't expect that we'll have very deep kirtan. It's the example that I like to give sometimes is that if you have, you know, a relationship with someone, but actually your relationship with them isn't very good, But in public, you make a show that, oh, this is my lovely wife. She's so nice, da-da-da-da-da-da. But at home, you don't treat her very nice. You don't have any, you don't want to have anything to do with her. Then, you know, then what is that? So if we're in public or with devotees chanting, but we're not cultivating our personal relationship with Krishna, in other words, on my own time, I don't have time for Krishna. Mm. I don't have time to chant. Mm. Krishna is not that important. Then what can we expect our kirtan to be? It's simply a show. Of course, it always helps because the big thing with kirtan is that we're with sincere devotees. And they're always, our position is that we're trying to imbibe Krishna consciousness from devotees that have Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. We read Srila Prabhupada's books, we read the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we associate with each other, we appreciate, you know, the how devotees are serving, how wonderful they are, how nice they are. How sincere they're serving, and I think, gee, why can't I become a devotee like that? So Krishna consciousness and chanting isn't something we can do outside of association. It's like Prabhupada said, Krishna is never alone. So developing our love for the devotees, our service attitude for the devotees, and is paramount to how we will chant, and that happens in a very pure way in kirtan. So if we can imbibe that mood more and more in the kirtan, then when we chant, we'll also bring that calling, those feelings. That association also by, even though we're chanting perhaps on our own, we're not on our own. There's devotees all over the world that are chanting with us, and we're with them. Prabhupada used to say, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're all packed up tight. So that's a nice thing to think, that we're all together, always chanting. And we can allow the devotional moods of and sincerity of the other devotees pick us up and help us. I don't know. Want to add something to that?
Just so that I had a different thought in response to his question. Not all, but that some of what you spoke about was how chanting japa can help enter into kirtan properly. Of course, kirtan can help one enter japa properly. I was thinking specifically about becoming attached to the name. So sometimes we're social beings, we like being with other nice devotees. Sometimes solitude is also very nice, because then it's, you know, it's not just the support of everyone that's carrying me, it's my relationship with Krishna is what is the reality of who I am and what's going on. While others also have their relationship with Krishna too, I have their association. But, you know, using Prabhupada's phrase, at the time of death, at least it's a pleasant sound, it's not one of those other ones. Okay. You have to fly your own airplane. You've heard that one before? At the time of death, there's no co-pilot. You have to fly your own airplane. So, where is your consciousness taking shelter? If my consciousness shelter taking is dependent upon the circumstance, at the time of death, that's not going to carry me. It's my relationship with Krishna. And so it's actually, you just said the same thing in a different way. If when we're genuinely taking shelter of Krishna when chanting japa is going to enrich and bring life to the kirtan, as opposed to if that's absent, what is it? It's a musical performance. It's not a call and then feeling others calling and connecting with Krishna that inspiring my connecting with Krishna. And the sankirtan experience of congregationally calling for Krishna's shelter is so. The familiarity, becoming acquainted with and attached to the holy name is enhanced by kirtan. It's a nice way to get attached to the holy name. And so it helps us in our japa in that way. Yes. Back here. Devish?
In the Mahamantra, since we find both the energy as Hara and the energetic Krishna and Rama, and if as we chant at least a few of the rounds, if the focus goes on the relationship between the energetic and the energy, and the locus of the energy and the energetic. And if one chants a few rounds in this way for many years, then would this make the heart of the person who's chanting very hard? Because one, as soon as one mentions the name Krishna, he does not see the personality of Godhead, but he sees the energetic absolute truth in with reference to the different energies of the Lord.
Okay, the answer is no. There's some little saying, I can't think of what it is exactly now, but what are the glories of my beloved? Let me count the ways. My beloved is this, and my beloved is that, and my beloved is this, and my beloved is that. Does that make the heart hard? Now, if it's simply gyan and not just see the glories of this person who I'm taking shelter of by calling his name, if it's not gyan but it's the person who, he's the energetic. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expresses it right in Shikshastakam too. That's not to make the heart hard. His potencies are unlimited in each and every one of his he's the Shaktiman, and there are all of his innumerable Shaktis, and everything is there within his name. Hari Bol, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat here, eager to receive the energetic and the energy, Krishna and his energies are so amazing, like some of them we discussed. So it depends on if bhakti is in the heart or pursuit of jnana is in the heart, whether it makes the heart hard or not. No problema. That shakti and shaktiman. And who is the shakti? And who is the shaktiman? And as you're hearing of what does Shaktiman mean? Krishna is the absolute truth. He's the source of everything. What does that mean? Unpack that and unpack that and unpack that, and you know, you got a huge inspiration for devotion. Iti madva bhajante mam. Krishna says, one who knows that Krishna is the source of everything, what do you do with that? Engage in his devotional service. Then your calling of Krishna's name is with more devotion than before you knew the Krishna Shaktiman, what it means. It gives rise to bhakti, naturally so. Hearing the glories of Krishna and hearing the glories of Krishna's holy name, it's not a gyan exercise, it's a bhakti exercise. It inspires. Let me take shelter. Let me engage in his service. He's the best. He's most wonderful. Like that. Huh? Anyone else? Way in the back. This one's for you. You all right?
Maharaj,
this is what Hari is going to answer.
Sometimes, well, you are saying the Maha Mantra complete, and sometimes suddenly you feel like saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna only. So is it okay?
I've never heard that question. I mean, that's just your emotion to say that.
The whole Maha Mantra, if you just say Hare Krishna, that's all right.
You understood the question.
Yeah, why not?
I know.
But don't count it as your rounds. But if you feel some feelings like that, then that's welcome.
Thank you.
Feelings for Krishna are always welcome.
How often does that happen? Lots of times. Are there other times when you feel similar attraction to Maha Mantra? Not as many. We're an equal opportunity movement here. We don't exclude Rama. Let me share something with you that who knows what will happen with this. You may appreciate it. What's the meaning? Krishna. Krish means to attract. This is, now, Jiva Goswami, in his commentary on Sri Brahma Samhita, the first verse, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. You've heard that before, right? Okay. Jiva Goswami takes each word, it's like a 20-25 page purport. Krish. Ishvara Parama Krishna. So Krish means attract. And na indicates the feature of bliss, ananda. So, he's all attractive. And he attracts us to the position or place, experience of all bliss. And Hare, of course, he doesn't indicate this in that commentary, but Hare is the vocative of Hara. Hare Krishna. So, point two. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's indicated that when one chants mantra, one should meditate on the meaning of the mantra. So, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada has given us this translation. O energy of the Supreme Lord, please engage me in the service of Krishna. So, third point. As I shared with you earlier, one of the tools in the wheelbarrow is, rather than doing, receiving. It's just like, you know, the pan scale. Instead of the doership mentality that we all know too well, and as we do it in the contaminated way, even in devotional service, it's so difficult to get rid of. Fruitive mentality. So, go over here and just receive. So, Hare Krishna. Krishna, please attract me once again to you. Or, another translation Prabhupada has given is, Krishna, please accept me. Of course Krishna will accept us, but it's our heart saying, I'm a nonsense. I left you. And here I am in this dark place. But you're very kind. Please accept me again in your service. While we know that our attraction is elsewhere, we're saying, but we, you know, something else is going on in our heart. So, Krishna, please attract me to you. Okay? That's nice. Now, wait, we're not done yet. There's Hari Rama. Oh! Something happened this past year, 2013, during Balaram's appearance day. I was, in honor of Balaram's appearance day, I was reading Krishna book about Balaram. And Prabhupada wrote, it's just in one sentence, it's helped to change my life since then. Prabhupada writes, in order to be successful in devotional service, one requires strength. Not material strength, but spiritual strength, which comes from Balaram. So that's the Hari Rama. Bala Rama. In short, Rama. But Balarama. But just Rama. Hari Rama. In order to carry out this, my side of you please attract me, and please engage me in your service, I need strength. Hari Rama. Hari Rama. Rama, Rama, Hari Hari. Don't forget. He will attract us. And what do? No, we need strength to carry forward with our side of being attracted to Him and engage in all of our services. Hari Rama. Okay? That may be helpful. So, I'll just add. Where's Sarangatak? Somewhere. Okay. In the room where you have me stay, there's a picture of Sadbhuj. But in the other room where I've sometimes stayed, is a picture of Krishna Balaram seated beneath a tree and the cowherd boys in the background. And can you switch those two? And I'd like to stay in the one room because there's this nice picture of the gopis at Krishna's feet next to Radharani and Lord Chaitanya. I'd like that. Can you switch those? Because last time I was here, or one of the times I was here in Houston, I was just chanting, mesmerized in front of that. So, like, you know, there's the Maha Mantra on the written, but the Maha Mantra was right there in that picture. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. So, please give me the strength to stay fixed, spiritual strength, to stay fixed in nothing but this service to the all-attractive Krishna. Krishna, please attract my heart only to you. Balaram, please give me the strength to stay exclusively engaged in Krishna service. Krishna, please attract. So, it's a powerful mantra. And all the potencies to fulfill that is within the mantra. That may help you. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Okay. Every day since Balaram's appearance day, some part of my chanting has been absorbed like that. And when you, part of the wheelbarrow message is, don't, not like a child, take a toy and then take another toy, take another toy. Next thing, the floor is scattered with toys. And none of them are really meaningful to the child, it's just child play. If there's something that resonates, stay with it. And go deeply into it. Any one of these things that we've been discussing. So here's one to offer in the wheelbarrow. Someone else had their hand. Mataji over here? The microphone. Could you raise your hand so he knows who to give it to?
I just thought I will add my 5 cents.
5 cents?
Yes.
Not 2 cents, but 5 cents. Okay. How about 10 cents? A dime?
This entire mantra, you know, I'm going through some scientific YouTube videos. So it was not particularly on this mantra, but when we say Hare, you know, the ha word, even when we laugh, it's ha-ha. So, you know, when we do like this, it's mostly the green frequency, which symbolizes love, which comes out. So it's the energy of love. So when we say Hare, it actually increases our love for Krishna. And the word Rama, it gives a yellowish frequency, which gives us strength, as you were saying. But it's scientifically proven now. So the entire sequence has been built in a very scientific way. Here you will find more Hares. So, you know, we need more love for love. At least I feel I lack, you know, a lot of love. So, yes. And definitely even the Rama word, you know, it's entirely built in a particular way.
Can you
go to the mic like that? So, you have two Ramas and two Krishnas in a sequence. So, when you have those combinations, the word.
I think Krishna doesn't want you to hear you.
The word combination that comes, even that is having a particular frequency. So, you know, the entire, like, sa till na, we have 7 swars in our music.
I'm in anxiety hearing you.
I don't know, like, but
can I interrupt
seven
you?
Colors in rainbow.
I want to interrupt you. May I?
Yes, sure.
Thank you. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, I can't remember exactly the leela, but something like this, where one Vaishnav, a very exalted Vaishnav, came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and wanted to share with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his interpretation of the holy name. Balabhacharya came to Lord Chaitanya and said like that. And Lord Chaitanya shut him down. He said, I don't know of any interpretation of Krishna other than Krishna. Hare, whatever it may, you know, whatever scientist may evaluate, it has this effect, that effect, the other effect. It means, for my sensibility, it takes away from it's Radharani. And we're calling Radharani. Not like haha. It's Radharani. And in her name specifically of Hara, because she's the counterpart of Hari, who takes away all inauspicious things. That's the potency, not the haha potency. Yes. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Someone else wishes to. Mahamantra, you wanted to say something. Where's the microphone that keeps giving feedback? Over here, okay. Raise your hand so he knows. But give him just this, the hand mic for now. It's coming your way. Here's the hand mic. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Dinesh, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Let's see what happens. Okay, try. Go ahead, speak.
Guru Mahārāj. Okay.
Father Hare Prabhu.
Prabhu, actually, my question got answered. Yesterday I was, while beginning of the chanting, my sankalpa was different, but when I looked at the deities, it was clear that I just wanted to chant for the pleasure of the deities. But during my 84 rounds, my realization was I was so many times distracted. So the distraction means I had other desires. So by the time I realized it was some time to pull me back to the hearing the holy name. So I don't want to do that.
That's a good beginning.
So, like as if seeing some cobra or something, as soon as I get that, like immediately I should deflect back. But my strength was not sufficient.
Mm.
So, when this praying to Lord Balaram will help me.
Okay. Well, I had an interesting experience yesterday. Didn't feel good at all. So it gave me impetus to realize I'm not the doer. Because I didn't have any strength to muster. So that's actually helpful. But yeah, that means that we have desires in the heart that take us away. I remember Srila Prabhupada explaining in one purport that if our hearts are impure, we can't look even at the deity without, you know, breaking our attention. We have to look away. Because that's Bahirmukha, right? That we heard that. That's our positions. We're looking away. We're always looking away. And the desire to look away is so strong that looking towards Krishna takes effort. Even though he's all attractive, because our hearts are unclean. So we can understand that at this stage in our chanting, our primary objective is, you know, Chaito Dharpanamajanam, to clean the heart. And just one suggestion, though, that we just understand this is my position. This is where I'm at. I'm not up here, I'm down here. So, but we can... I remember one devotee came to me, this is many, many years ago, and he said he was very, very, very disturbed. He said, I was having such a good morning, I was chanting and, you know, feeling so many feelings, and then all of a sudden this thought came, and then, you know, it ruined. So it was so disturbing to him, the thought, that he placed all his attention on that thought, not what we're supposed to do. We know, we've been everywhere, we've done everything. What thoughts won't come in our mind? You know, it's, you know, that's the situation. But we don't give them much attention. We just realize, oh, you know, my mind has wandered away. Now, okay, but this is due to my having no attraction for you, my Lord. I'm sorry, but now I'm going to bring you back. Again, the mind wanders away. Again, we bring it back. But the important principle that we want to have in our chanting is that we're sitting here to continually bring the mind back. We're not going to sit here and chant our rounds and let the mind wander. That can become a habit. That can become your sadhana. That I'm now, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I'll plan my day, I'll figure out what's happening, and the mind can just go. And that becomes our habitual way of doing things. But we want our habit, our default position, being that we're continually bringing the mind back. And again, without passion, you know, without, you know, oh, you went away again, or, you know, it's giving it way too much attention, you know. Just like a naughty child, you know, just okay, you know. You don't have to give him too much attention, just bring him back. So that's, and it's humbling. It's humbling. And we know that when we can keep our mind there, when Krishna is attracting us, when Balaram gives us strength, we're not proud that now I've become a great yogi. We know it's mercy. We know it's His mercy that somehow or other He's appearing and allowing me to be attracted by His holy name. But my position is, I know I'm not very much attracted, but I'm going to just let all that go, and then by doing that, we find that there is something there. I mean, we heard those wonderful prayers of Haridas Thakur, and he glorified, I mean, Haridas Thakur. Okay, he was a little more advanced than we are. but he was saying that I can't remember you. He was glorifying all these devotees that achieved perfection and got all of these wonderful things simply by remembering, just on the basis of remembering Krishna. And everything was achieved by them but I can't remember you. This is Haridas Thakur speaking, and he said, so therefore, what was this request? Let my only sadhana be eating the remnants of the foodstuffs left by your devotees. So this is humility. He doesn't think that I'm a great, I can remember you. So, yeah, but we need to, I remember, I read something recently from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur there's a compilation, it's called Patramrita. It's the nectar of his letters. Mm. And I wish, I'd like to make a t-shirt out of this one statement, but I can't remember the exact thing. But anyway, it's two lines. He said that, when you chant without offense, you will realize that there is nothing more important than the holy name. When you chant without offense, if somehow or other you can bring your mind there and chant without offense, then you will know that there's nothing but the holy name. And so that endeavor, that's all we can do. We can't do much, really. Maybe as we're younger, we feel like we can do a lot, but as the body starts to fall apart, Krishna blesses you with the realization that you can't do anything. And like Maharaj said, that you know, we don't have our mind, we don't have our faculties, we don't have anything gradually. What's the only thing that's left is whatever bhakti we have. And that will carry us. So while we still have some faculties, we want to bring our mind to Krishna, and that endeavor to chant without offense. What did he said it really nicely, that the desire or the intent, you know, that I need to chant without offense.
Yes.
I need this. I there's nothing else that's going to work. You know, we have the holy name, but if I'm chanting with offenses, you know. So that conviction has to be there. At the same time, you know, we realize that we're incapable because our hearts are impure, so we just keep bringing our mind back and back and back. But that's our habit. That's our, when we sit down to chant, our habit is to bring our mind back. Our habit isn't to just check out. That's so important. So important.
What was the second thing that he said in those nectar of his letters?
Yeah, I'll have to find that. It's awesome.
I have the book with me. I haven't read that section. I'll look for it. I'll lend you the book and you find the section.
Yeah. I'm sure. Well, actually, somebody showed it to me, so I'm not even sure
where it is.
Section it's in. But anyway, the idea is that when you chant without offense, then I don't really remember exactly how I said it, but you'll realize that there's nothing but the holy name. Like that. The holy name is our only hope, our only shelter.
Hatsal, would you like to comment on we give the last, you know, time we have together to you. Speak on whatever it is that you heard, and do you like to respond to some of these people saying things? I'm sure there's like, we'll be here for half an hour hearing what sells appreciation of things.
You're talking to me?
Yeah. Anything at all of what we just heard or what we did or whatever.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Well, when you were speaking about kirtan and the relationship between kirtan and japa, that I was thinking that kirtan is a form of communication. In other words, we're a social communication. We're communicating socially, so therefore it's more comfortable for us. Whereas japa is we're trying to communicate with someone that we don't know, we only heard about, with Krishna. I mean, we're really trying to communicate with him. We're asking him, hey, please engage me in your service.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to communicate with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more difficult because there isn't that personal intercourse that there is with kirtan. But if we, through all the knowledge and all the wisdom that we hear about the holy name and result of chanting and associating with Krishna's name, the fact that Krishna and his name are non-different, when we say Krishna, Krishna dances on our tongue, with all that knowledge and information, then we can try to have that relationship with Krishna through japa. I mean, we can have that relationship with Krishna through kirtan also, but there's so much social interaction that satisfies us. It may be even more difficult sometimes to be having a relationship with Krishna through kirtan, because there's this whole language that we're speaking with each other called music. And so that is very puts us in a very comfortable position that we don't have when we chant japa. So sometimes when you chant japa, you can enter into to not make it mechanical, you can make it a little more musical for yourself. You know, Prabhupada would chant, and when you hear Prabhupada chant, sometimes he would emphasize certain words, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. He would kind of make it you felt like he's communicating with Krishna. You know, he's having some reciprocation with Krishna. So rather than just be a very mechanical thing, we can try to make it this communication with Krishna. So that's what I thought about the kirtan and japa reciprocating with each other. Because it's all chanting the holy name. We're all begging Krishna, please engage me in your service. That prayer, that's our intention. I was also thinking to ask a question, though, that Lord Chaitanya says in the Shikshastikam, Namakari Bahuda, Nijasarvasaptistatrapitanyamitaksmarnanikarala. Then he says that I'm so unfortunate that I have no attraction. And yet, we are trying to have an intention to have some attraction to the holy name. How can we feel that we're worthy? We're hearing Lord Chaitanya say, I'm so unfortunate, I have no attraction to the holy name. And here we are, we're trying to spend our life trying to have an attraction to the holy name. How can we deal with that? How can we understand that?
You're just giving me an opportunity to say something. Take more than one way to think of what Mahaprabhu is stating there is he's teaching us by example how we should be when he's not really like that. That's one way to think. He's instructing. Shiksha. Another way, in that one's wrong and the other's right, or vice versa, another way is the natural humility of a Vaishnava who is qualified, feeling themselves to be not qualified. It's a Vaishnava's sentiment that he's expressing, I'm not qualified, even when he is qualified. And then a third is separation. When qualified, what is it that's keeping me from the object and, struggling to overcome the object that's keeping me from, obstacle that's keeping me from the object. It's my disqualification that's keeping me from the object. So, separation, and separation when there is attachment for the object, although the statement is I don't have any, when there is attachment for the object and there's an obstacle, then one's surrender amplifies. One's calling in a helpless mood amplifies. So those are some thoughts on that. It's not, I've answered the question. For us, then we're looking, he's come to give love for Krishna as the residents of Vrindavan are experiencing love for Krishna. That's kind of like third one. It's love and separation. Even when Krishna is there, prema vaichitra, even when Krishna is there, the gopis are feeling, in a moment Krishna is going to be gone. Even when he's there, they're feeling anticipation of separation. Or even when Radha is by Krishna's side, she sometimes enters into a mood of, like, you know, Prem Sarovar, hearing that Madhu is gone. Krishna is right by her side, and she, Prema Vaichitra, she's overwhelmed with feelings of Krishna is gone, even Krishna is right there. So, that's Lord Chaitanya, and he wants to give us a gift of Braja Prema. So that's part of that gift. By instructing us through his shiksha to recite and enter into the mood of the shiksha. We don't have to do too much. It's not difficult for us to think we're not qualified and we don't have attraction, because we're not qualified and we don't have attraction. But as one becomes, when that wonderful day comes, when one becomes more purified and more qualified, the mood intensifies. It's like this third one, the Vaishnava sentiment, feeling very, very humble. He's helping us enter into that mood of that he had, or that the followers of Lord Chaitanya, hey Radha, hey Vrijadevi, hey Chandavi Dev. Even I'm not qualified. The hope against hope prayer of Rupa Goswami. Same, it intensifies the hankering to receive that which Lord Chaitanya came to give. He's helping us enter that. So, the 12 o'clock bell rang, and our schedule is we're done at 12 o'clock, is that right? So, Shamasundar, would you like to conclude things here for us? I know you like to speak about the holy name, so can we pass the microphone to him? The portable one?
Maharaj, I would like to say that we are, the community of the Houston devotees is very grateful to all the assembled Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. His Grace Badahari Prabhu and wonderful wife, and your divine grace that make these occasions very auspicious. We have been hankering for many, many lives to create the love of God in our heart. And you have helped us in a big way. Yesterday I saw that all the devotees where we were heading to take the prasadam, all of them, if you look at their faces, was really jubilant. And I think the theme for the japa retreat was to enter into the Vrindavan. And each of us can attest that we have gained something by having a wonderful association and the time that we spent together. And we are very, very thankful and look forward for this opportunity more and more. Thank you very much.
You want to take the microphone back over this corner? There looks like some practical logistics over announcement type things.